Good morning. Eric is down with the COVID, and he actually says he feels fine right now. He's kind of came through the worst of it, but he's still being extra cautious, and so, but he wanted me to, real quick, I'm Max Bunn. I'm the college pastor here. I've been on staff here at Briarwood for 10 years this month, and in July will be 10 years officially, and I'll be starting my 11th year at the end of the month. So many of you I know, or I've known your children or grandchildren, and so, but it's a pleasure to be with you guys this morning. I'm going to be teaching, but I'm also emceeing and doing announcements and all that as well. So just want to welcome you here. If this is your first time here to Men of the Covenant, we're grateful you're here, and hopefully it'll be an encouraging time in God's Word, an encouraging time of fellowship and accountability around the table with the men that you came with. One of the things Eric wanted me to announce is our six-week evangelism training. It starts tonight at 6:30, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. here back here in the fellowship hall. And if you want more information or want to register for that, you can go on the website under briarwood.org evangelism or email Eric at erebels.org. So, but that's tonight. You'll have dinner. There'll be a free dinner and then a lesson, and then you'll actually go out and evangelize. So for some of you that know that your gift is evangelism, your spiritual gift is evangelism, because that's what we've been talking about, the spiritual gifts. This is a great application to go get in the game and go try it out and go do it. So there's the evangelism announcement. Let me make sure there's no other, he sent me a list of things to make sure. The other thing he wanted me to do is remind you to sign the sheets that are on the table, the roll sheets. Those are really, important for him. So, but that's all the announcements, and, I'm gonna get started. The topic that Eric gave me to speak on, share from this morning is, strengthen and develop your spiritual gifts. Don't misuse or abuse them. Strengthen and develop your spiritual gifts. Don't misuse or abuse them. So that's what I'm going to attempt to do this morning. I'm going to turn my phone off so I don't get any calls from my wife. That's right. before we head into this. So, but if you were here last week, which I'm assuming majority of you guys were, Stephen King did a great job of defining the purpose of spiritual gifts. In summary, he reminded us from God's Word that spiritual gifts are used to glorify God, to worship God, to point us to Jesus. And that's the first thing. And then the second thing that he taught us about spiritual gifts is that they're for our common good. For the common good of the body of Christ, to build it up and to encourage it and to strengthen it. So that, those are kind of the two main points that he emphasized last week, is the purpose of spiritual gifts, to glorify, honor God, point people to Jesus. Pretty simple, right? And then for the common good of the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ, to strengthen it. And so this morning we're going to talk about more about spiritual gifts, and specifically, I want to talk about how they can be misused and abused, and then some ways to strengthen and develop those gifts. In the church today, spiritual gifts are probably one of the most misused aspects of the Christian faith, in my opinion, or at least from being a Christian for 27 years and being on this earth for 45 years. But what I've seen growing up in a small town in Georgia, and then just being around the Southeast, around a lot of different churches, is that we tend to see extremes when it comes to spiritual gifts. On one side, we see an over-focus on spiritual gifts, where spiritual gifts become the main thing. And so one example of that is, I remember one time when I was down in Daytona Beach, and I was a part of a summer beach project with Campus Outreach. And while we were down there, there was this group of people on the beach, and what they were trying to do was anoint people with the Holy Spirit. And they focused specifically on the gifts of tongues. And they said, you know, do you have the Spirit? And we're like, yeah, we have the Spirit. We're Christians. We believe in Jesus, and we received His Spirit when we believe. And I was like, well, do you speak in tongues? And we're like, no. Well, you don't have the Spirit. And so they told me and many of the other students that if we weren't able to speak in tongues, then we really weren't saved because we didn't have the Holy Spirit. We hadn't received the full measure of the Holy Spirit. And so they were misusing the gift of tongues as a sign of salvation. And so we see that on one extreme. And I bet if you've been around for a while that we've all experienced some kind of experience like that at an event or at a church if you've visited different churches. But on the other side, there's extremes with spiritual gifts is that they're not even talked about at all, right? If you bring up the Holy Spirit and His gifts, it's almost like you're talking in a foreign language. Like, what is that? What are you talking about? Like, we don't talk about that here. That's for those real, you know, holy people over there, or those weird, you know, charismatic people over there. It's almost a foreign language to them. And so those are kind of those two extremes that at least I've experienced growing up in the South and being in a bunch of different churches and visiting a bunch of different churches and even events, Christian events and activities through being a Christian for the last 27 years. But what I want to attempt to do this morning is focus on what do we probably struggle with here at Briarwood in misusing or abusing the spiritual gifts. Because I'm, you know, willing to bet that most of us in this room aren't in one of those two extreme camps. We're somewhere in the middle. And so what we're going to do is look at five ways in which we can abuse or abuse spiritual gifts from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So that's where we're going to be. If you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, you can. And I'm going to pray for us as we dive into God's Word. Excuse me. Father God, we just thank You so much for the privilege to be here. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it teaches us, that it equips us, God, that it has everything we need, that is totally sufficient, God, to help us do Your work and to mature us and grow us into Your image. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning by Your Spirit that You would empower me, God, to teach Your Word, and that You would empower the people in this room, God, that You would use Your Word by Your Spirit to teach and equip us better. And how not to misuse or abuse Your spiritual gifts, but to use them rightly, God, to honor and glorify You and to build up Your church. And so, Lord, that is our heart. That is our desire. That's what we're asking You to do by Your grace and for Your glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to start off. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 11 first, and then I'm going to start talking about a few of the ways that we can misuse or abuse spiritual gifts. So let's look at starting in verse 1 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." Verse 4. "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to the other the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So the first thing I want to focus on is a way that we can abuse or misuse spiritual gifts is that we can focus on the gifts instead of the giver of the gifts. We can focus on the gifts instead of the giver of the gifts. Looking at this passage, what is the context? In verse 2, he talks about, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. And he's talking about worship. The context is worship. Right? And so, what does he say in verse 3? Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And so, he's saying, you can't truly worship God unless you have God's Spirit working inside of you. And spiritual gifts are designed to help you focus on Jesus. They're designed to help you worship Him. The gifts themselves can't be the focus. And we continue to see this as we go through the passage. In verse 6 it says, and there are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. He keeps bringing them back to, it's one Spirit. It's the same God that we're supposed to be focused on. The issue's not the gifts. He wants to, and think about what he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be uninformed. He wants them to know that the gifts, the main thing that you need to know about the gifts is that they're from God. They're about Him. They're about pointing people to Him so they can worship Him rightly, but He's the giver of them. It's from His Spirit. They're from Him. It's all about God and the Holy Spirit. And they were given us. So the spiritual gifts, they can't be worshiped. And they probably, what was happening in the context of this, and we'll see this more as we go, in the Corinthian church, is that they were worshiping the gifts instead of the giver of the gifts. And so Paul is wanting to lay that foundation and just remind them that they can't do that. They have to worship the giver of the gift. And that's the goal, that's the purpose. And the only way we can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that I want to say or share in how we can misuse or abuse the spiritual gifts is we use our spiritual gifts for our own good instead of the common good. We use our spiritual gifts for our own good instead of the common good. When you read verse 4 through 7, Paul, again, he's reminding them, especially in verse 7, is that he says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. So we're all given a manifestation of the Spirit. If you're a true believer, we've been given that manifestation. But it's not for our good. It's not for our glory. It's for God's good. It's for His glory. We live in a culture that says, look at me, right? Social media. Culture, right? It's all about me. We're trying to, whether it's Facebook, and guys, Facebook's not a child, it's not the teenage thing anymore. The biggest users of Facebook are between the ages of 45 and 65. And that fits a majority of the people that are in this room. Not 18 to 30 year olds. It's not those young people anymore. It's 45 to 65 are the biggest users of Facebook. All right. The young people, they're using the 18 to 30 year olds, they're using things that I don't even understand now. And there's a new app coming out all the time that they're using. Have you used this app or you've used that app? I can barely keep up. There's a new one coming all the time. But so this just isn't a young person thing. We're all focused on this. Look at me. Look at my life. And that creeps in to our church and it creeps in to the use of the gifts, the spiritual gifts that God's given us as His people. And one of the things that I think is really key is that that's a natural desire to want to be recognized, to want to be valued. Deep down, we all want to be significant. And these aren't bad desires. This is actually the way God made us. But He made us to find those things in our relationship with Him. And we first must be rooted in our identity as children of God. That I am my beloved's and He is mine. I'm in Christ and He is in me. We must always be going back to those truths, or we will use spiritual gifts for our own good and for our own glory and not for the common good. Third thing, the way we can misuse or abuse spiritual gifts is that we try to use our spiritual gifts in our own power. We try to use them in our own power. I love verse 11 here. He says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. I don't know about you guys, but as I'm reading through that list, even though I've probably read through this passage now over the last couple weeks, 10 times, it's still, I can miss that. But Paul is reminding them that it's God's Spirit, that's Him that is empowering us. Verse 6, it says, the same God who empowers them all and everyone. It's God who empowers them. It's His Spirit that empowers the spiritual gift in our life. But our temptation, right, is to think, I got this gift. I have the gift of leadership. I'm just going to get up there and lead. Or I have the gift of administration. I'm going to go into this and administrate. Or I have the gift of teaching. I'm just going to work hard, I'm going to prepare, and I'm just going to get up there. And we don't depend on the Holy Spirit. We don't ask God to help us and lead us and empower us to use our spiritual gifts for His glory and for the common good. So that's another way that we misuse our abuse, is doing it in our own power, using our gifts, whatever they are, serving, mercy, helps. Our tendency can be to rely on ourselves and not rely on the power of God. Fourth thing, and for 4 and 5, we're going to look at verses 14 through 26. So I'm going to read through that real quick, and then it'll help us as we look at these last two ways we can misuse or abuse. And as we look at developing and strengthening. But let's look at verse 14. It says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And I'll just read. It says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So what we can tend to do, another way we can misuse or abuse our spiritual gifts, and in this passage, Paul's really speaking to it. If I had to say that's the theme of these verses, is that we try to We overvalue certain gifts over other gifts. We overvalue certain gifts over other gifts. And Paul, through these verses, he's trying to remind us that there's not one thing that's more valuable than the other. Right? I know most of you guys are probably out there looking at me and thinking, man, he's a young man, and I appreciate that. And I know I look younger than I am. I'm 45. Most people think I'm 35. I like that. That's not a bad thing. But as you know, as you grow older, parts of your body that you never even thought about before, if they start hurting, they become really significant, right? I've been having shoulder pain for about 2.5-3 years. And up until probably, 3 years ago, I never thought about my shoulders. Right? The only thing I thought about shoulders is when I went to the gym and I wanted to do military press to make sure my shoulders stayed in good shape. But since my shoulders have been hurting and bothering me, I think about my shoulder a lot. It seems like an insignificant thing, but it affects my sleep. It affects just how I feel in general. I can be more irritable because my shoulder is hurting if I forget to take any pain medicine for it. But a shoulder seems like a very insignificant thing, right? It's the same way with our knees. It can be different parts of our body that seem insignificant. My wife, we don't think about your ears until you have a problem hearing. My wife has been having some vertigo and some issues with her ears, and it causes migraines. And so 6-7 years ago, before she had migraines and the vertigo issues, she didn't ever think about her ears. They were just a part of her physical being, right? But now she thinks about her ears all the time. She thinks about what she eats. She thinks about the things she does or doesn't do because she wants to make sure what's going on in her ear doesn't mess up the other parts of her life today. It doesn't affect her quality of life. But what Paul is trying to remind us is that all the gifts are important. They're all connected. There's not one that's better than the other. And when we overvalue certain gifts, what we can do, it can cause us to complain about our gifts. Because we look over at someone else and we compare our gifts with that person. And we think, man, I'm not as good of fill in the blank as that person. He's a way better blank than I am. Or they're way better at that than I am. So we can complain, we can compare our gifts, and a lot of times when we do that, what that causes us to do is not use our gifts. Because we think our gifts are insignificant, so I'm not gifted like that person in these things, so I'm not even going to use my gifts. I'm not even going to try. And guys, this is not good. Because what this does is it causes us to miss out. And most importantly, the body of Christ, who needs us to exercise our gifts, misses out. It's a lose-lose situation for us. If we overvalue certain gifts, this can also cause the other extreme. We think of ourselves or others to be more important than they really are. We can put people up on a pedestal. We can allow them to get away with things that they shouldn't get away with. That's where spiritual abuse or spiritual manipulation can happen. Because we see how gifted this person is. We excuse these other areas of their life. So we misuse or abuse our gifts. One of the things, some people know this about me, one of the things I used to love to do when I was on staff with Campus Outreach as a way of building relationships with students was that I would coach football, flag football, and I would have a guys team that I would coach and play with. I was like a player coach, and then And then I had a girls team. I would help the girls ministry, and I would coach for them. But one of my favorite things to do was to take a player that thought that he had no value or she had no value to the team because they weren't as physically gifted or as fast or as quick or whatever as someone else, or couldn't catch as well, and finding that place on the team for them where they could thrive. Finding what are their strengths. One of my favorite examples of is this young lady. Honestly, I can't remember her name, and I thought maybe I should just make up a name. I can't remember, but she was a very large young lady, but she was lost. She needed Jesus. And so we wanted her on the flag football team because the purpose of that flag football team was to tell them about Jesus. And they recruited her to come play, and she came out there, and I started trying to figure out what is she good at? How can she contribute? And so, I figured out this girl has amazing hands, and she can catch really good. And because she was a little bigger, girls couldn't get to the ball. If the ball was thrown to her, she would catch it every time. And if we needed a yard or 2 yards, and in flag football, often you do to score an extra point or to get a first down, you need just a couple of yards. She was our go-to person. But she didn't have much value. She didn't have much worth of herself. She thought she was insignificant. There was many times early on that she cried at practice because she felt like she didn't have anything to contribute. But by the end of the season, she was one of our key people. She helped us win games. She helped us be competitive because we found a place for her. When we overvalue certain gifts, we miss out on getting people in the right place and them using their gifts. We also miss out on us. We might be selling ourselves short and the body of Christ short if we're overvaluing other gifts. It keeps us from getting in the game and doing the things that God's commanded us to do to build up His church. So we shouldn't overvalue certain gifts over other gifts. The fifth way we might misuse or abuse is we don't pair our spiritual gifts with love. We don't pair our spiritual gifts with love. And this is a spades reference. So I like playing cards. Our family plays a lot of cards. Paul throws down the trump card here at the end. He tells the Corinthian church, you know what? He's been talking about all these spiritual gifts. It doesn't really matter what kind of spiritual gifts you have. If you don't use them with a love for God and a love for others, they're of no value. You really have nothing. They're of no gain for God's glory. They're of no gain for the church and Christ's body. And we see that at the beginning of chapter 13, in the chapter of love. Let's look at, real quick, and I think this is important for y'all to see, but is it, if we have to pair spiritual gifts with love, and one of the ways we misuse or abuse them is when we don't do that. And so, let's look at here. It says, starting in verse 31 at the end of chapter 12, it says, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I give away all I have. And if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." Then he goes on to describe what love is in the whole chapter 13. And then look at verse 13. So he says, "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." And then the beginning of 14, he says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are no good if they're not coupled with a love for God and a love for others. Amen. So how do we develop and strengthen our spiritual gifts? I want to close out with a few comments on that and then give y'all some time for discussion. But so how do we develop and strengthen our spiritual gifts? We must embrace the spiritual gifts God has given you. You must embrace them. The thing I love about this passage is it tells us over and over in here, but I love verse 18, it says, "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose." God chose to give you the gifts that you have. And He gave them to you to fulfill a certain role in His church for His glory. And God doesn't make mistakes. Christ's church is missing out, and you are missing out, until you fully embrace the spiritual gifts God has entrusted to you. So trust Him. Second, way to develop and strengthen your spiritual gifts are to start using your gifts to build up the church for God's glory. That might sound like an oversimplification thing, but the phrase I like to use is you got to get in the game and start using your gifts. You can't stand on the sidelines and think you will get better. You have to get in the game. Meet with one of the pastors. Meet with a mentor. Ask for practical ways that you can begin using your spiritual gifts. And this is important. Some of you might, I was just thinking about this example, but of evangelism, right? You might have taken a spiritual gift test and it says one of your gifts is evangelism. For me, evangelism is one of my higher gifts. It's not my highest, but it's one of my higher gifts. But guys, I hate going out on the beach. I hate going over to UAB and doing the going up, hey, take this survey. You know, that I don't like that kind of evangelism. I do it. I know I need to do it. But what I've learned is that I do love sharing the gospel. But I love doing it in a more relational way. I love building a relationship with someone. I love sitting down with someone and having a conversation and getting to know them and sharing the truths of the gospel with them and discussing the gospel. There's some people that love that. They love going out and sharing the gospel like that. They love going up to people. So the reason I'm sharing that with you is that it's not just about your spiritual gift, but it's how you can use your spiritual gift. You might use your spiritual gift in different ways. You might have the gift of hospitality and you love having people in your home. There might be some people that have the gift of hospitality. They don't like having people in their home, but they love caring for people and taking care of people. They come to the church and they're hospitable. They love showing up early and welcoming people. That what I'm trying to say is the spiritual gifts can manifest themselves in different ways. But you're not going to discover that unless you get in the game and do it and figure it out. You have to get in the game. But meet with a pastor, meet with a mentor. Those will help you. Lastly, I just said this lastly, but I'm saying it again because I believe this passage, it gives us three parameters for using our spiritual gifts in a way that will help us to meet our goal of glorifying God and building up His body. with our spiritual gifts. And these are the three parameters to help develop and strengthen our gifts. We must do it depending on the Holy Spirit to empower us. We must use our spiritual gifts dependent upon the Holy Spirit to empower us. That's the first thing. Second, it needs to be done with a heart of gratitude. This isn't explicitly said in the text, but I believe it's implied over and over. You can't fully use something and embrace it without being grateful for it and grateful to God for giving it to you. So, dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit as you use your gifts, doing it with a heart of gratitude, thanking God that He's given you this gift, that He's giving you this opportunity to be a member of the body of Christ and fulfill your role. And then thirdly, it has to be wrapped in love. Has to be wrapped in love. Implemented with love. Our spiritual gifts can never be separated from love. And we're supposed to pursue love before we earnestly desire spiritual gifts. I'll confess, that's the most convicting point to me. I remember, I'll share this story real quick as I close and then y'all can discuss. But I remember when I was in seminary here at Briarwood, and one of my assignments, it was for a class for pastors. And it was about basically, I can't remember the name of the class, but it was basically about, you know, learning about taking care of yourself as a pastor, spiritual formation for pastors. And one of the assignments we had to do at the end was we had to interview certain pastors. And we had to ask them, what are the keys for ministry and longevity in ministry? And that was my project. So I interviewed a few different pastors. But one of the themes that came through that, and it mainly came through, and I don't think he's here this morning, but Benny Youngblood. And Benny Youngblood said the number one key in ministry, the number one thing you got to have is you have to love God and you have to love people. And I don't know about you guys, but it was kind of like one of those duh moments. It's like, okay, that's the greatest commandment, right? Jesus said all the commandments can be summarized in these two things. Love God and love others. But that's not what I was focused on. That's not what I was thinking about when I was thinking about ministry. Spiritual gifts are our opportunity to minister to one another and to glorify God. They have to be implemented with love, that heart of love, that spirit of love. And for me, I had to confess. I had to get down on my knees and I had to ask God to forgive me for not loving Him, not being motivated by love, not being motivated by loving others. And trying to use my gifts and do ministry. So that's it. Two questions that I have, and then I'm sure y'all can discuss whatever things. But the first is, how are you tempted to misuse or abuse spiritual gifts? How are you tempted to misuse or abuse spiritual gifts? And then the second one is, what needs to be your next step to develop and strengthen your spiritual gifts? What needs to be your next step to develop and strengthen your spiritual gifts? Thank you, guys. I'll close this in prayer, and I'm going to close this in prayer and pray for y'all's time of discussion. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that is not silent on this topic of spiritual gifts and how to use them properly, but also how we can misuse them. And Lord, we pray that we would be a church that embraces, and a people who embrace our spiritual gift fully, that we do it with a heart of gratitude. God, we do it dependent upon your Spirit, and we do it out of love, that we use our spiritual gifts out of love for you and love for others. God, I pray for these men as they discuss around the table that it would help make the things clear that I was not clear about. God, use it for that and use it to sharpen and encourage them, God, to better serve and love you and to serve and love one another. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.